started with a tollway in northwest London on Sunday, 31st of October, 25th of Cheshvan, Rabbi Moshe Levi, Parsha theme.
Morning.
Good morning.
Baruch Hashem, I've been in London over 11 years now. I don't remember what we've said in the past, what we haven't said, so I figured if I don't remember, you probably don't remember either. But we'll throw out some ideas. For sure, most of them I don't think we've said before. Parasha starts off, Ele Todod Yitzchak ben Abraham. These are the generations of Yitzchak. The end of last week's parasha, we talk about Avram Avinu and his burial. Now we get up to Yitzchak. I don't know if we've discussed in the past why we know practically nothing about Yitzchak. We have four parashiyos, all about Yosef HaTzadik. We have a bunch of parashiyot about Yaakov, two parashiyot about Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha and Vayera. Chayesora is a little bit more about Eliezer going to find Rivka than Yitzchak. And then over here you have one or two stories. Another shiur for another time. What do we have to know? Avram Hilud is Yitzchak. How do you get a Yitzchak? You'd be an Avram. But Rashi asks, you just told us, Ve'ele Todot Yitzchak ben Avraham, these are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram Hilud is Yitzchak. Well, obviously, Avraham Hilud Yitzchak. So says Rashi, that what happened? L'fi shayu l'tzaneh hador umrim avimelech didabra sarah. The litzanim, the scoffers, the mockers. In England they say those that like to take the mick. What were they saying? You know who Yitzchak's father was? It was Avimelech. Now, I was looking through if Galinsky said something that I had never thought about. On two phases. He said, let's think about the time frame. We know, we read on Rosh Hashanah, Vahashem pakad et Sarah. Little background. Avimelech takes Sarah Imenu, and Hashem punishes them. He closed up all their holes. They weren't able to get pregnant, etc. Abraham and Sarah daven for Avimelech and the people, and they get better. Vashem pakad et Sarah. What day was that? Rosh Hashanah. Now, that was in Parashas Lech Lecha. What happens at the beginning of Parashat Vayera? Who comes to Abraham Avinu and says, the Malachim come. When did the Malachim come? When was that? Pesach. Avraham Avinu tells Sarah, Lushi v'asi ugot, go make the ugot. And our rabbis tell us, no, it wasn't ugot, it was ugot matzot. By Lot it says straight out, v'yafe matzot, he bakes matzah. So it was Pesach. What did the angels tell Avraham Avinu? When are you going to have this child?
Ke'ischaya.
Next year. When was Yitzchak born according to most opinions? Pesach. So in theory, if Avimelech was the father, when was Avimelech with Sarah? A year and a half before Yitzchak was born. The math doesn't work out. So what did that Tzaneh Hador even say? There's nothing there. It's impossible. Stop. I thought to myself, we read Vashem Pakad et Sarah. Again, I had never thought about the time frame. Vashem Pakad et Sarah. It's Rosh Hashanah. Now's the time. Hashem judged Sarah on Rosh Hashanah. But when did the fruits of labor, if you want to use that terminology, when did the tachlis happen? A year and a half later. I would have thought Rosh Hashanah, when Hashem decides something on Rosh Hashanah, when's it going to take place? What would I have thought? During that year. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem decides the next year. No. Hashem pakad et Sarah, and it's only going to take place a year and a half later. Again, I haven't seen anyone say this, but I found it fascinating. Could be this year, Rosh Hashanah, we got up and we davened, said, Hashem, you need to get rid of this corona. And Hashem said, okay. That doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen this year. Hashem, this person needs a shidduch. This person needs parnasa. And we davened, and Hashem pakad. Hashem judged this person for good. Doesn't guarantee it's going to happen imminently, or even over the next 12 months. Yeah, I haven't seen anyone say that. I'm just thinking about it now.
It's even better. She only has to become pregnant in 9 months' time. That's this year.
Yeah.
That's in this year.
100%. So, right. When it actually, the angels come 6 months later, 6.5 months later, and they say, in another year, Something to think about, because we daven and we say, oh, Rosh Hashanah, of course. But just because Hashem judged it on Rosh Hashanah doesn't guarantee it's going to be that year. Again, I haven't seen anyone say this, I was just thinking about that. It says, Rav Galinsky, what do we see when it comes to Leitzanos? When it comes to the mockers, facts are irrelevant. The math doesn't work. Oh, Avimelech must be the father. It's impossible. She wasn't with Avimelech. She was with Avimelech a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. When you're sitting around with Leitzanim, the logic doesn't have to make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. When they talk about Korach, and Korach's able to get all these people against Moshe Rabbeinu, says Rashi over there in Bamidbar, what happened? It was Leitzanos. It was taking the mic. He had all these stories that just weren't factual, weren't practical. And what happens? People say, wow, my gosh, look, we look today at the world we're living in, and those who read the news, and you're thinking to yourself, it's so obvious. How could they say this? What's Pshat? Moshe Leitzana. The first of all Tehillim. What's the first thing David HaMelech writes? Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the man. Ashrei Lo Halach Be'atzat Rishayim. Okay, Rishayim, you don't want to be with Rishayim, that's very bad. Ubderech Hata'im, they're sinners, they're doing bad things. Uv'mashav Le'etzim Lo Yashav. Literally, the first pasuk. What? Don't be saying, they're not Rishayim and they're not Hata'im. They come to shul. The guy who's a Rasha, okay, Shkaya, of course, don't be with the Rasha. The guy who's mamish sinning, don't be with such a guy. I get it. They're sitting around schmoozing. They're taking the mic a little bit. No. The first pasuk, because what happens when you have Leitzanim? The facts could be staring them straight in the face. Yeah. And it's so clear and it's so obvious. And what happens? Nothing. Sheker. Mom is sheker. And? Doesn't matter. Says Rav Galinsky, we have to be so careful that we don't sit there. He brings down the snake. What happens? It says, af. And it brings down some of the first women. That was taking Leitzanos. And the whole logic wasn't there. Touch the tree, you're good. This, that, all these different things. Sometimes you have people, they're being asked a question. And they'll give you a million facts that have nothing to do with the question. They'll tell you the politicians. What are they doing? You ask them a very specific question. And they'll talk about everything else. And 10 minutes later, you forgot even what the question was. The bunch of Leitzanim. And they expect us to just follow them. Because they talk a good talk. We have to make sure that we're able to see the emet. We're able to look at the facts. But we have to be so careful when it comes to the Leitzanim. Because there's always going to be a Leitzanim. Oh, this school, this shul, this chav, tzedakah. Please, they do this. I heard this. I don't know about this. And I saw and they did a campaign. It didn't seem to me. And in 2 seconds, you can knock down a whole school. You can knock out a whole shul, a whole organization. You can take down someone's business because you're being cute. You're being a bit of a late. And you didn't even mean to. What happens over here? Hashem has to make a nes. Says Rashi, and make the face of Yitzchak look exactly like the face of Avraham Avinu, because we didn't want the Letzaneh Hador to be able to have even a Havamina. Yeah, obviously, it's his kid and Avimelech's kid. They're identical twins. They didn't age. I always find it interesting because we see in Parashat Lech Lecha that when Avraham Avinu goes to get Loit, why does he have to go get Loit? It's his brother-in-law, it's his nephew, of course. But Rashi says, what was it? The cluster upon him, the face of Avraham Avinu, was exactly, the mishpacha, was exactly like Loit. So what would people say? B'chol Hashem. Oh, Yishkoyach. Hashem saved Avraham Avinu the first time, but now, I'm Raphael, Nimrod, you got him. So to make sure there wasn't a chol Hashem, Avraham Avinu has to go. So you have a bunch of people walking around looking exactly like. You have Loit, you have Avraham, you have Yitzchak. Everybody looks like it could be triplets. Hashem has to make that nes for Yitzchak. Why? Because we're worried about the Yitzchak. We have to be so careful, A, to make sure we ourselves aren't Leitzanim, aren't taking the mic. There's somebody who did something special, there's somebody who did something great. Human nature is to almost knock him down a little bit. Yeah, Yishkoyach, he did this, but I know that he also did that. Okay. We're constantly knocking people down, making a bit of leitzonos. Moshav leitzim lo yashav. Yitzchak Avinu. Hashem has to make a nace. And so Rabbi Shimon Schwab says, why now? How old is Yitzchak at this stage? He's 40 years old. Now the Torah tells us? Says Rabbi Shimon Schwab, now that an Esav is about to come out of a Yitzchak, the rumors are going to start up again. You had a Yitzchak Avinu, he's a tzaddik, of course, it came from Avraham and Sarah. When people are going to see that an Esav came out of him, you know what you, oh, shit. Can't be Avraham and Sarah and a Yitzchak. There's some bad DNA over there. There's some type of psul over here. Maybe the father really wasn't Avraham in the first place. It's only now, says Rabbi Schwab, that Hashem make the nes at this stage, years later. Interesting. What do we see? The toldos. It's imperative for us to understand where we come from. Last week, we spent the whole parsha, pretty much, trying to make sure, Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer, we need to make sure this legacy that I've started doesn't end with me. The Haftarah talks about Shlomo HaMelech, Adoniyahu, and Yechia Melech Adoniyahu, and they start praying. This is the Malchus based of it, the Davidic dynasty. What's going to be? Where are we? What's the next generation? Who we are? I went yesterday to Hampstead Garden Suburbs. I was speaking over there, one of the Minyanim. I wasn't sure what to speak about. And I walked in, and they were discussing over there. There was a pamphlet and a magazine discussing Rabbi Sacks. I said, you know what? We'll speak about Rabbi Sacks. And I said to them, I said, when Rabbi Sacks announced that he was going to retire as a speaker, I said to myself, whoever takes over as a speaker won't be able, well, it was the best. It was amazing. As a speaker, intellectual, be able to cater to certain people that nobody else could get to. And for years I had tried to get him to speak for Chazak. And always was turned down. Personally, they didn't say this. I think it was out of respect for the current chief rabbi. You want someone to write something in your dinner journal. You want someone to do a video to speak. Speak to the current rabbi. But one time, we were doing a lunch in St. John's Wood, and he was going to be there anyways. So I called up the person who arranged his schedule, and I said, he's there anyways, please, we're doing a lunch. He says, let me speak to him. She called me back. He'll speak for you, him and his wife. They're going to be there, they're going to speak, and they're going to leave right away. Now, I would never say this, but I remember hearing from Rabbi Sacks, said, I'm not a people person. I'd rather speak to 1,000 people than 3. Some people, they're introverts. Some people, they love people. He said, I surrounded myself with people. I don't feel comfortable one-on-one necessarily or in small groups. Okay. And I was told there's a special office. Knock on that office. Right when you want him to speak, he'll come down, he'll speak, he'll leave. Okay, I knock on the door. First of all, he taught me a very important lesson. Because he said, Rabbi Levi, I was asked to speak about community and leadership. I got what, 10, 15 minutes? If I speak about both, I won't do either one justice. Pick one and I'll speak about one and we'll do it right. Which I think is a very important lesson. So often we try and stoop in a bunch of things and I'll hit this and I'll say this and I'll do this. At the beginning, especially, make sure you do something right. And then you can add another thing. Then if you try and do too much, Navolti Paul, it's too much. Pick one thing. I said, okay, if you could speak about leadership. We came downstairs and someone said, no, it's 1 o'clock. We're about to start the lunch. I said, Rabbi Sacks is ready to speak. He said, maybe we should wash. People are hungry. I look at Rabbi Sacks. He says, okay. He sits down. And it blew me away. Because he sat there like this. And I thought to myself, oh no, he's upset at me. I told him he's going to come down, speak, and then he's going to go. And now he has to waste another 5-10 minutes. Everybody washes, sits down, makes a motzi, take the first course. And then he got up to speak, and he was just amazing. And I thought to myself, this is a man who just didn't feel comfortable. He didn't want anybody to come over and start schmoozing with him. He wasn't necessarily a people person. Why would he take a job as a rav? And then eventually, as the chief rabbi that you need to go around, it was against his personality. And still, what did he do? He said, I got to do what's best for Klal Yisrael. So even if it's not my personality, I'll do whatever needs to be done. Which was amazing. And he got up and he spoke about leadership. And I won't tell you everything he said, but one thing stuck out of my mind. He said, imagine you have somebody that moved from another country. I don't remember the country. He said, let's say Cambodia. And they move over here, they get married. They have kids. Is that child going to consider himself from Cambodia? Or is he going to consider himself British? Is he going to speak the language of Cambodia? Is he going to celebrate the holidays and the vacation days and the special days? Is he going to fly the flag? Is he going to know the national anthem of Cambodia? What would you say?
Not.
Probably not. The grandchild? For sure not. He said, except for one family. You know which family the children and the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, are going to celebrate the Yom Tovim and are going to make sure they know the language and they know the history and they know the culture? So the ambassador. The ambassador of Cambodia, he's very proud. That's who he is. And he makes sure that his children know all about Cambodia and they speak the language and they know the history and they know the culture and even the grandchildren. Why? We're ambassadors. He said, whether we realize it or not, in America, the intermarriage rate is over 70%. In England, it's approximately 50%. He said, if you want to make sure that we have toldos, if you want to make sure that we got the message of Avram Avinu that you need to perpetuate this legacy, what do we need to feel like? We need to be ambassadors. And if we feel like we're ambassadors of Klal Yisrael, then our children know about Pesach, and our grandchildren know about Pesach, and our grandchildren, great-grandchildren know about Pesach, and Purim, and they speak the language, and they learn Gemara, and they learn Chumash, and they learn Torah, and they know who we are, and where we come from. Yes, the average English person, your great-great-grandparent was from England? No, where'd they come from? Maybe they know what country. How'd they get here? I have no idea. What was their history? I have no clue. Every single Jewish child, Yain Hara, can tell you. Who was an Avram Avinu? Who was a Sarah Imenu? Who was a Yitzhak? Who was a Rivka? Yitzias Mitzrayim? David HaMelech? Because we're ambassadors. And we live in our nice little golden green bubble. But ultimately, out there in the big bad world, unfortunately, there's many people who don't feel like ambassadors. And who don't care. And it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we do everything we possibly can to be those ambassadors. When I was teaching in Hezbollah, and Rabbi Sachs came to speak, and he told a story. He said, when Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated as the head of the Commonwealth, he went to the funeral. And he's flying back on a private plane. It was just him, Prince Charles, and Prime Minister Tony Blair. He says, a teeny little plane, and it was probably from World War I, not even World War II. He said, it's a nace that this plane was flying. And we're sitting there, we're schmoozing. And then, he says, I open up my Chumash to start learning. And Prince Charles and Tony Blair look over, and they say, what is this book? Because what type of Chumash did he have? Makroyes Gedolos. Makroyes Gedolos, you have, starts explaining to them, over here you have the Bible, and this is a commentary called Rashi, he was a wine merchant in Worms. And over here you have the Ibn Ezra, he was from Spain in the 1300s. And he starts explaining to them all the different Mefarshim. And they say, maybe you could teach us a few verses. And he's sitting there teaching Prince Charles and Prime Minister Blair. And he says, you know which pasuk I have going through my mind? Adabira neged melachim v'lo evosh. I'm sitting there opposite kings. Not embarrassed. And he told all the students, he said, non-Jews respect Jews who respect Judaism. You need to be proud of who you are. You need to be an ambassador. You need to understand where you come from. Remember a different time I heard Rabbi Sachs speak, and he said, when he took over, 22 years, I heard this 10 years ago, so about 30 years ago, he said over 70% of Jewish kids weren't in Jewish schools. He says now, over 70% of Jewish kids are in Jewish schools. Why? Because we need to teach our children who we are and what we're all about. And train ourselves and train them to be ambassadors. Push our kids. You have koiches? Get involved. Volunteer. Start an organization. You see there's a problem? Do something. There's a lot of issues. Try and fix them. Start with yourself, start with a small group of friends, and see where it takes you. Be an ambassador for Klal Yisrael. That's the only way we're going to have toldos. Avram Avinu, Avram Hoyled is Yitzchak. He made sure to have a Yitzchak. And to do, and Yitzchak had his own way of doing things, and Avram Avinu said, that's no problem. You're Gvura, I'm Chesed, that's fine. There always has to be, in every relationship, some Chesed and some Din, right? Avram Avinu's Chesed, so what's Sarah? Din. Gareshet ben Oma, get rid of Yishmal. Yitzchak's Din. So what's the one thing that Eliezer says, what do we need to find? Chesed. Yaakov is both. Right? Yaakov is Bechir Avos. He's Tiferes. That's the equilibrium of both. So therefore, Yaakov Yishtam Yoshev Ohalim. What does that mean? He sits in tents. Yoshev Ohel. What does it mean, Ohalim? He's in both tents. And therefore he needs to marry El Rachel, and he needs to marry Aleya. Each one has different kohot. Each one is there for the Gvura and for the Chesed, and they're able to work together to make sure that each side of Yaakov Avinu is being able to come to fruition. And they go through the brachas that Yitzchak Avinu gives. We've all heard famous idea. What was it? Yaakov was very scared, because Yaakov Avinu is sitting and learning Torah. He's going to be the God of Adar. He's going to be the Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky ever leaves the Bnei Brak? No. Sit and learn all day. Esav's job is to be the one who goes out there in the big bad world. And he's Makarov people. It says Dina, Vateitse Dina, the same way it said Vateitse Leah. Leah was supposed to be the partner of an Esav who's going to go out into the big bad world, do some Kirov and get people involved. And Yaakov was supposed to sit and learn and be the God of Adar and doesn't have to leave his tent. Now that he gets the brachas, and the brachas are all about the money, and he has to be the businessman, what happens? It's a whole different avodah. He has to stop by Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever and learn a new mahalach. Why? Because I was sitting and studying to be God of Adar. Now I need to prepare myself. And when he's by Lavan, you look in the pasuk, it's interesting. I was to ask you, how long was Yaakov Avinu away from Yitzchak? Would you tell me how many years? 22 years. The same way Yosef's away for 22 years. He was away for 22 years. You look at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, and what does he say to Rachel and Leah? I've been here 20 years. It's time to go. So what's missing? A couple of years. 18 months to 2 years. So I heard one Rav say, he needed time to detox. Being in a house of Lavan, and this is after saying, in Lavan garti tari mitzvah shemati v'lo lamati ma'asavarim, he didn't even learn from Lavan's bad ways, and still, I can't go into an Eretz Yisrael and be the Yaakov that I need to be. I need a couple of years to detox. I was in this whole tummy place. Everybody has their avoida, but each one in their own avoida needs to make sure that they understand who they are and what their kohot are and how I can be an ambassador. For the shuls, for the schools, it's very easy to sit around and complain. Oh, this school, they did this wrong, they did that wrong, they should hire this one, they didn't hire that, they did it. That's Moshe of Leitzin. Moshe of Leitzin. To sit around and just talk about all the problems, and the Rav this, and the committee that. Moshe of Leitzin. Even if the facts aren't true, what do we see? People believe it, and people spread rumors. And people say things. Hashem has to make a nes, and make the face of Yitzchak like an Avraham Avinu, just to stop the leads. We need to make sure we understand. I don't know. We're a Yaakov Avinu. If you want to perpetuate the legacy of Klal Yisrael, and you might be saying to me, Yishkoach, you got the wrong crowd over here. I don't know. Every one of us needs to hear this, because we can all be ambassadors in our own unique way. And many people here might have grandchildren, or have family members, be an ambassador. Go find a way. Find a way. We have no idea the koyach that's in somebody. Reading this week's Sedra. It says about Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Vayareach et reach begadav. Says the Gemara, don't read it, begadav. Baigdav, the rebellers. What does that mean? There's a certain reach. There's a certain smell that Yitzchak was able to smell of people who get up. And they go against the system saying, we need to do something. We need to make a difference. Everyone's saying X, but we understand why. And therefore, we're going to be begged of. People might think we're crazy. We find a way. I have on my table now my son. He's in year 5. He's doing different gedolim. Everybody in the class has to pick a gadol. And I had this chus that Rav Avadya Yosef, Chacham Avadya, was the sandak for my oldest sons. His picture's up on the wall. So my son was in year 5. Said, oh, I'm going to do Chacham Avadya. And we have the art scroll book. It's on the table. It's about this big. I said to him, get reading. He has like 2 months, but there's like over 500-600 pages. And there's a story in there. I don't know if you've ever shared it. I'll end with this. It talks about the Reach. There was once a man, wealthy man from America, he retired, and his son-in-law said to him, come visit us in Eretz Yisrael. His son-in-law was sitting and learning in Kaila. He comes to Eretz Yisrael. His son-in-law says, let's go visit the Gedolim. And they go visit all the Gedolim. They walk into Chacham Avadya. And Chacham Avadya says, I smell the smell of Gan Eden. What do you do that's special? The guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. I have children who learn in Kailo. I support my son-in-laws in Kailo. He says, no, a lot of people do that. It's amazing, but that's not. Nobody else has the smell of Gan Eden. Tell me, what have you done in your life that's very special? Chacham Avadya could tell this guy felt uncomfortable. See, he sends everybody out of the room except for the interpreter. Chacham Avadya didn't speak English. This man didn't speak Hebrew. And the man says, 1945, after the war, my father and I went town to town. See, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, utilized every single part of the Jews. They used their hair to make carpets, to make rugs. Sometimes they use their skin to make lampshades. It says, but they weren't able to mass produce it. But they took some of the fat and they turned it into soap. And they went around Poland selling this Jew soap. Now, after the war, it was a bit bushas that you'd be thinking, you're buying soap of human beings? Disgusting. This man says, my father and I would go town to town, buying the soap, burying it, and saying Kaddish. He said, now we went to one town and we bought all the soap. And my father went to the train station to get some tickets. And this guy comes to me, I was a teenager. And he says, are you the one buying the juice soap? I said, yeah. He says, I got a whole box for you. I want this much money. He says, look, my father has the money. I got a couple of zlotys. I don't really have much. The guy didn't want to wait around. Bushes was embarrassed. The guy says, you know what? You have a thick pair of trousers. I have a thin pair of trousers. Give me the zlotys. We'll trade trousers and we'll call it even. He says, I didn't want to lose out. So I did it. He said, I had a good pair of trousers. And that winter was a cold winter. And I suffered, but I never told anybody, even my father. I took the soap. I buried it and I said, Kaddish. Chacham Avadya said, that's why you have the smell of Gan Eden. The Reach of Gan Eden. And in the book, the art scroll book, Chacham Avadya, it says, the only reason we know this story, when this man passed away, the Gabbai, the interpreter, went to pay respects, went to the Shiva house. Said, that story with your father and the trousers is amazing. And the kids are like, we don't know what you're talking about. He never even told his own kids. But he stood up. He said, I'm going to be an ambassador for the Jewish people. Right now, this is what we need. I'll go do it. People were making leitzanos. They took people and they made soap. We have to be the people who stand up, who understand what we live for, what we believe in. Told us, we can't be late sonim. We can't just sit around the Shabbos table and talk politics and take the mic and say we're not hurting anybody. Moshav le'etzim lo yashav. But the facts are clearly not true. Sarah couldn't have got pregnant. It was a year and a half before. Facts are irrelevant when it comes to leitzanut. We have to make sure we understand what's emet, what's true, what's real. You want to have told us, we have to be ambassadors. Each one of us in our own unique way. We've had great, amazing, amazing tzaddikim. I thought to myself when I read the story, if he was able to smell and say, this is the smell of Gan Eden, must be he was there at some point. How would he know what Gan Eden smells like? Unbelievable. These aren't people that lived hundreds of years ago. These are people that we saw. And we can learn from them and do our best to be the ambassadors, the same way these gedolim and tzaddikim and special people were ambassadors. Adabera neged melachim. I don't know if in the history of Yiddishkeit there was ever a rav who sat there literally teaching Torah not in a debate, teaching Torah to Melachim. V'lo evosh. We too need to be proud wherever we go. Of who we are, what we're all about. Be those ambassadors, and Mitzvah Hashem, if we do that, then we have Todos Avram and Yitzchak. We continue and perpetuate, and in that Zechuz, V'zocher Chasdei Avot, Hashem remembers, Mevigo Eb Nehem Benehen Haman Shemo Ba'ava.
And they know it's a face of answer, Kaya, and say, oh, yeah, dear.